You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. How do we wrangle those little ones in the pew so that they might hear the word of God and we might get to hear it as well? Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for CUW in the sponsors section. You'll find Concordia University, Wisconsin there. In studio with me today, talk about parenting in the pew, Joe Willman. He's senior instructional designer for Concordia Publishing House here in St. Louis, Missouri. Joe, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Always love talking about parenting and faith issues with you here and all that you bring to the table. And you brought along one of your colleagues today, newest colleagues here at Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis, the Reverend Pete Jerkin, editor of curriculum resources for CPH. Pete, welcome.
Thanks.
Glad to have you in studio, and welcome to St. Louis as well, and welcome to KFUO Studios. Did Joe warn you about all the fun that we have in studio?
I'm not going to say anything about that.
Tell us, Pete, tell us a little bit about your work at Concordia Publishing House.
Yeah, so I'm an editor of curriculum resources at Concordia Publishing House. I've been there for about 9 months or so. I'm kind of the pastor in the curriculum resources department, and so a lot of what I'm doing right now is dealing with small catechism, confirmation, Sunday school, these sorts of things, trying to kind of think through what we're going to be doing in the next period of time with all the curriculum resources we're coming out with. So it's an exciting time.
Excellent. And keeping Joe in line.
That's true.
Well, Pete is a very humble person as well. He neglects to let people know. He also has a master's degree in education as well. So being a parish pastor and then also having the understanding of educational theory that he did after seminary, that he took such an interest in that he saw it being important. So he went out and got it.
Well, excellent. And so we have some educators in the house today, parents in the house as well.
This is most certainly true.
Which taught you more, the degree in education or parenting from the pew?
Yes. they're kind of work together. It's really kind of crazy, actually, because you can have all this theory about education, and then you have your own kids, and you say, I knew nothing. And you kind of learn all over again. So,
when was that moment in the pew for either of you that you thought, okay, this is more challenging than I thought it was going to be? I had this all planned out.
I'm constantly reminded by it on a weekly basis. I think my youngest is just turned one, and I think I lost half of my ear this last Sunday by him just holding and pulling on it the entire service. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Pete?
Oh, yeah. It's one thing. I've got four kids, 8, 6, 4, three beautiful girls, and then a 5-month-old at home. I was a parish pastor for 7.5 years. And so, you know, I'd be up in the pulpit or up front helping to lead worship, and my wife would be sitting out there in the pew. And so, you know, my perspective was very different. But now over the last 8 months or so of stepping out of the pulpit and being there in the pew with my family, my perspective has very much so changed on you know, what goes on in a worship service. So it's really kind of eye-opening for me.
How so? What was it before and how has it changed?
Okay, so, you know, in the pulpit or up front, you know, you have these ideas of how it should be. You hear the horror stories, you know, of, you know, olden times when pastors would stop everything and say, you know, if you have young kids, you can't be in worship, and then these sorts of things. And so I wanted to fight against that. So my mantra was always, you know, if I hear young kids in the pews, I'm doing something good. You want to encourage people to have young families there. You want to say, this is good. Make all the noise you want. You know, be there. You know, sit up in the front. You know, if you want to take your kids out, you can. But we don't want to discourage you from having your kids in worship. That's really fine to say until you actually take that spot in the pew and you're wrangling your own kids and you realize how much noise they're making. And then you say, oh, you know, I don't know if I should be in here or not, you know. And so it's kind of an interesting perspective. So it's, you know, from the pulpit, it's easy to say, make all the noise. But when they're your own kids and you're sitting there, you want to really keep them quiet and you have a different perspective. So
I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one that wrestles with that. You know, that before our child came along thinking, yes, I encourage parents to bring kids no matter, you know, what the circumstances might be, sit near the front, those things. And we still do that. But I know there have been many Sundays, especially in the last, you know, our son is 4 now, but, you know, earlier on, those Sundays where I'd struggle with, okay, is this distracting to other people besides just me? And I would, you know, it would be so distracting to me worrying about whether or not it's distracting someone else. They would hinder that I might not hear the word as much during that time. But always after I'd wrestle with that, then sure enough, after the service, someone else would say, "He was so good today. He right. did such a great job." And I'm thinking, oh, well, thanks. I didn't think that at all, but I'm glad that it wasn't disruptive to anyone else.
And I don't know about other pastors, but I can say from my own experience, I think, you know, 90% of all the noise that's going on there, it's not distracting the pastor. And frankly, I think most of the time pastor won't even hear most of the noise. So for you pew sitters out there with kids, if they're making some noise and you think it's distracting everyone, I'm with you, Andy. It's probably mostly just you.
And if it is distracting, you just, you know, you can be gracious about it. You can either relocate if you need to, or offer to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Offer an extra hand to help. What is that? Why is it important for kids to be in worship? You talked about that before as a pastor, that it was important to you to encourage families to have their children in worship. Pastor and educator, let's hear from both. We'll start with Pete.
Oh, sure. Worship is where we receive God's gifts. I mean, we come together as a community of God's people. It's a lifelong thing. We continually return back to God's gifts of word and sacrament. We do that together. And so, you know, we start from the very youngest. It's a lifelong community experience. And so just building that habit and that routine of being there together, I mean, it is just so important. And as a pastor speaking to everyone out there, build that routine. That's mm-hmm. the big, big factor to this lifelong discipleship. Joe?
Yeah. Well, one thing that just from a learning perspective, everything that we do confesses something. And what does it confess to our children if we send them somewhere else during the divine service where we're saying this is where God's gifts are being given out to everybody? And then we send you off to this other place over here because this isn't for you right now. You're not ready for this right now. That gives this thing, well, I haven't graduated to this yet. God's gifts aren't for everybody because I'm not there. And by confessing to your children that we are all here together as a family, this is important because this is what God has called us to do today. That's what you teach them in that point in time, is learning that we're all together. God's giving his gifts freely to us.
What can we do? Are there things that we can do at home to help prepare for, help them prepare, help us rally for Sunday morning?
You know, I think practice is always good. And in everything that we do, we practice things. Think about how many little kids. I'm shocked at how early soccer leagues start now. You know, and as somebody has an exercise science background, it's crazy to me to think there are two-year-old soccer leagues right now. But we practice before we go do something. And in this event, I'm not saying to go home and sing every part of the liturgy every night, but if you can incorporate throughout the week different elements of the liturgy and speak with your child about this and practice, well, this is the time when we do this that we stand up and we sit there, and this is a time where we are listening to what pastor says, or this is a part that you can freely join in with us because you know the words to this. So practice can help with that as well.
Practicing at home.
Yeah, I'm going to just piggyback off of Joe. You know, they work together. Something I've found, you know, because you want your kids to know the Lord's Prayer. You want them to know the Creed. You want them to know just those basic songs. You want to know them to know how to confess their sins. And so it works together. You learn this stuff by being in worship together, and then you come home and then you practice it. And then you go back and you hear it in church. And it's just this back and forth. You take church home with you, those basic truths, the timeless truths of being God's people, and you bring them home and then you live them out at home. And sometimes it isn't even intentional. Your kids learn to pray mm-hmm. by just being around people who pray. Your kids learn to sing these songs and sing the liturgy by just hearing it in worship. And it's amazing what they absorb. So these things just work together so well. And sometimes I think we miss that. We miss just how important that is.
What role does repetition play in learning, Joe?
Oh, it's a huge part. If we look at when it is appropriate to do things, and we've talked about this before, you know, why do kindergartners and first graders and second graders, why do they do times tables and multiplication tables and addition tables and learn all of these facts? It's because repetition is good for learning that rote knowledge. And again, as such young children, repetition is so important for them because that's how they learn. I think of the hymns that my daughter knows right now. They all have a verse inside of there that is repetitive. You know, I think Father Welcomes All His Children is Ava's favorite hymn right now, and it's because every single stanza she can participate in some part of it because she knows part of it. And so that's really important to her. But I think repetition is good for adults as well, especially as a parent in the pew. It's challenging if we go off of something and I don't have a bulletin or I can't hold a hymnal because my child is ripping half of my ear off right now, you know, in the pew. But if it's something that we do every week, I can still fully participate in the service. And even though Carter is getting ready to crawl off the back of the pew, you know, I can still be there present in that. And so that's helpful on both sides.
What encouragement do you have, you know, from, you talked earlier about being a pastor and then getting to be in the pew as a dad. What encouragement do you have to the dads in the pew, Pete, and then Joe, too, as well?
Oh, sure. A few big ones. Dads in the pew, encourage you guys to sit near the front. Take your family and sit closer to the front. It seems counterintuitive. Many of our congregations, the spaces have these signs in the back of the church that say, you know, reserved for families with young children. But I'd actually encourage you all to sit closer to the front. The kids can see what's going on. They can pay better attention. They're more involved in the worship. And frankly, honestly, I'm talking to those parents. You might think that by having families sitting close to the front, you're a distraction. Actually, to a lot of the people that don't have kids or might be older, you are the greatest encouragement to your congregation by sitting up near the front and participating there. So that's one. Another thing I want to encourage in congregations as well is embrace your young families. I've got a young family. Myself. And, you know, my wife, she would sit there in the pew with three or four kids by herself. And she'd be the first one to kind of joke that, you know, she actually hasn't heard one of my sermons ever because she's actually wrangling the kids. But one of the greatest encouragements she had was to have some other people in the congregation kind of adopt her and say, you know, can we sit next to you? Can we sit on the end? I had one of my kids would like to bolt and head towards the back, but not just to be a bookend to keep the kids contained in the pew or the space, but also just to be there and participate. I want to encourage congregations, embrace those young families, go and ask them if you can sit next to them, if you can be part of their worship life together. You may be such a great blessing and benefit to that young family. So sit near the front, sit together, adopt young families, get to know them, sit there. It'll be a blessing to everyone.
You know, as from the dad perspective in the pew, I think one thing to fall back on and remember is that you're the spiritual head of your household, and that embracing your smallest child or whatever your toughest child is at that point in time is not only serving that child by you being there to help provide that, but it's also serving your wife as well, because you're making sure that she is hearing God's word at that point in time. And God has called you now at this point in time that you have children, and that if there's anybody in this scenario that needs to take this child out, I would encourage dads, you be the one to pick the child up. You be the one to take him to the back where you have to stand there so you can make sure that your wife is hearing God's word at that point in time. I just think those are little things that we sometimes don't think about, but I want to make sure that my wife is the one that's there in the pew still, being able to do that. And, you know, when you get two or three or four, that still may not happen, but I would still encourage the dad to just embrace your smallest child or your child that might be the runner and do all of that and do that.
That one runs.
Yeah. and it's amazing. It just, you know, if you can have some of these families adopt you and sit at the ends of the pews, it's such a huge blessing.
And for some children, having someone who's not mom or dad sitting next to them encourages them to pay attention a little more closely, or to behave at least.
Right. Well, you know, for us, even sitting close to some of those other families, my daughter looks up to another of our church members' daughters there, who's maybe 5 or 6 years older than she is. But her behavior when she sees her there, because she sees her sitting and singing, her standing up when she should stand up, her paying attention when she should pay attention. And that has a big impact on my daughter as well. So not just thinking that all of the grandmas and grandpas in the congregation, that their children are gone to come sit, but also as families as well, you can help each other out in that sense.
Absolutely. I see that with my own child when he sees, you know, some of his babysitters who are in the congregation, when he sees them singing and standing with their families, he wants to go sit with them, but but two, he sees that example and he wants to be like them as well. So speaking of in the pew, how do you... When you've got that crazy, energetic, you know, that ball of energy that you just have to try to wrangle, what are some of your, do you have some tried and true tricks that have worked for you, Joe?
Consistency. I think, you know, I mean, the biggest challenge with anything, and this goes in parenting, whether it's in the pew or not, is just continually being consistent with that and realizing that we are all broken sinners and we're all going to fail. And in this time, let's take a breath. Maybe we're just going to walk to the back right now and we're going to have a conversation about what is expected in God's house right now and go back and try again and do all of that. But overreacting and doing those kind of things might elevate the scenario that you're dealing with, the tension that your children are going through. So I would just be calm, be consistent with what you're doing.
Be calm. That's the tough one.
Yeah, no, for me, I'm going to use my wife. I'm going to put her up on a pedestal because she's been doing this for years. Her whole mantra is just be prepared. So if you're going to have some sort of busy work, some sort of activity, not that the kids won't be paying attention, but if you need to hand them a little toy or something like that, be prepared with stuff. Bring that with you. We had in one of my congregations, they put some little children's picture Bibles in the pews, and that could be a blessing to some families too. But it's like what Joe was saying before, preparation, getting ready, bringing the right stuff with you, not freaking out in the pew, but having a plan on how you're going to start dealing with these kids when you know they do get antsy and fidgety, because it can be a long time to sit, but have the stuff with you and be prepared.
Yeah, I would even say those things that you have with you, test them out ahead of time too, because we talked about our own internal as the parent, thinking of all of the noises that we make. I remember the first time that we took a Magna Doodle to church and Ava pulled it out and started writing. And you'd never think about how loud that writing implement is while she's doing it. And it's probably not bothering anybody else, but it is driving you, the parent, crazy right now because that's not going well. And now the point where you realize it's too loud and you have to take that away from your child at that point in time.
And that's even louder.
You know, I mean, it's always the writing implements too. A crayon is so much quieter than a pencil. You know, like you think of all of those different things.
The little soft finger puppets. Those are a real winner.
There was a stretch of time that we could only bring soft books and soft, you know, like little quiet toys that were soft as well. Anything hard, it was banged on the pew. So, we've moved beyond that. I will say this past Sunday, something I learned actually purely by accident. We arrived a little late and there were no open seats on the end of the pew, and I didn't want to disrupt anyone by bringing our entourage into the pew. So we stood at the back, actually by the cry room where there's a little more open space, and my son had a perfect line of sight view of Pastor during the sermon. Well, he just plopped right down there on the floor and had his little snack with him. And he was perfectly content and actually paid more attention sitting on the floor than he does on the pew. Mm-hmm. I was amazed how just sitting in a form that he's usually comfortable with, sitting on the floor, that he was more attentive.
Well, but the amazing thing there, Andy, though, is that, I mean, he was there.
Yes.
Like, he didn't have to sit in his regular spot. He's used to being there. You're building that habit of worshiping with each other. I mean, and that's huge. And I can say, as someone who worked a lot with confirmation and youth group, I mean, you want to know those kids in high school and college that have that foundation, that are more likely to come back to the faith if they do walk away. The big factor I found was, as kids, they had been in the habit of worshiping with their families, and they knew that's what you did on Sunday. And so that's just so key. So thank you, Andy, for doing that with your kid, even if he's sitting in the back, you know, eating Cheerios on the floor. he's there and he knows what he's supposed to be doing there.
Well, just because he was on the floor and he could see very well, I think, from there, he was more attentive to the point where I was thinking, which pew could we take out so that we could just do this every Sunday where he can just sit on the floor? He was more attentive. So how do you deal with those, the struggle that we have as a parent? How do you deal with that inner struggle of, this is going to be, it's going to be another Sunday where we're going to be wrestling, this is going to be another Sunday. How do you balance that, that struggle and knowing that it's important to be there on Sunday morning or whenever your family is worshiping? Joe?
Take a big deep breath. I know I said be calm before, but we're here to receive God's gifts. And in this time, we're going to hear God's word. Our pastor is going to proclaim the forgiveness of sins to us at this point in time. He's going to preach the word to us. We're going to have Jesus's body and blood fed to us. There are so many different things that are going on in this point in time that are so important and integral that it's tough, but be encouraged by the fact that God is doing what he has promised to do, and he is where he has promised to be for us. So that's so important to us, and relax and calm down. And, when something crazy happens, every other parent sitting in there right now has experienced the something crazy that has happened. And maybe they didn't experience it in church, but they've experienced it somewhere else. And so just breathe.
Yeah, and I'd build off of that too. I mean, like I joked before, my wife hasn't really heard sermons, but she's heard everything else. And my kids have experienced everything else. And they're learning how to say the Lord's Prayer, and they're learning hymns. I can tell you, my 8-year-old, I just had this wonderful experience in worship on Sunday, where my younger kids, they're being younger kids, but my 8-year-old, she's really learning to read and learning all this stuff. And I just found myself, without even realizing it, standing with my arm around my 8-year-old, and we were both belting the hymn. I mean, she was belting because she could read it well enough. And I was just saying, this is it. I'm living the life, years of wrangling the kids and getting them there and bringing the toys and bringing the Cheerios. And now we're doing it together. And that's, thank you, God, for that opportunity to do that, for sure. But know that it is worth it. Stick with it, people. Bring your kids. I've witnessed the promised land with my own eyes, singing with my daughter. But build that habit, and it's amazing.
Joe, you mentioned earlier, breathe. Don't stress about it. The more we stress about it, the more that our children, I think, pick up on that as well. The more we emphasize the gifts that are being received there, and to focus on those gifts rather than the things that we're stressing about, it seems to be the direction that you're pointing us. Focus on the gifts. Focus on the good things that are being delivered there, rather than on how painful this might be.
Right. Yeah.
What about, other aspects of Sunday morning? There are education opportunities as well. Any comments on those? Sunday school and other educational opportunities?
I think it's important to continue through everything and keep your habits in place. Don't skip Sunday school. Make sure that you're getting to Sunday school every week. Even if you go to early service and late service, or you switch it up, make sure you're still going there. And work with your spouse on figuring out how you're going to manage that. Nicole and I feel as if we're doing a good job of tag teaming worship and Sunday school with a 1-year-old right now, because my arms are pretty tired by the end of service. And so she kind of takes the charge during the Sunday school hours. So those are just some encouraging things of work with your spouse on all of that. And even when you have the little tiny one, don't remove yourself from the scenario as well. That's just as important for you as it is for your children.
Yeah, Sunday school can also be another opportunity to piggyback that taking faith home. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. I mean, learn what your kids are doing in Sunday school. If they're using CPH material, I can speak from experience that, in that CPH material, the leaflets and the take-home stuff has all sorts of home connections, family connections, things to do at home. Learn what your kids are learning. Learn those stories. And, in the car ride home or at lunch when you get home, later on during the week, pull that stuff out and have some faith conversations. It's built in to do that. But I think oftentimes we as parents aren't always aware of what our kids are learning in Sunday school, and seeing that as a great opportunity to build that congregation home connection.
Very good. My son's Sunday school teacher is good about making sure that all those materials come home to us. So, you know, at lunch after Sunday school yesterday, held up the card. Who is that? He couldn't remember. But by dinner, he could remember that it was the artwork was Elisha. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. We're going to talk about another new great resource for teaching as well. Some of the updates to the Small Catechism. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.